For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Ethos Lakers. This is going to be a solo edition with me, your host, JC DeLeon, for this one. And recording this on January 26th of 2022, which is the two-year anniversary mark since the untimely passing of Lakers legend Kobe Bryant. And in a weird twist of irony, the Lakers sit currently with the number 8 seed and with a record of 24-24, and that's pretty unusual. That's a pretty unusual coincidence. It's one of those odd things that, you know, after Kobe died in one of the games in the bubble, there was at one point a score of Lakers 24 and the other team had 8. And it's one of those weird coincidences that just kind of always make you think that, whether you believe in this sort of stuff or not, that Kobe's kind of always watching over this team. And it's sort of the reason why people felt like maybe the Lakers would win a championship after his untimely demise, because he's always going to be watching over this team. And although things haven't been great for the Lakers this season, last night did sort of seem like maybe things might turn around. And the reason for that is after 17 games and almost 5 weeks out, Anthony Davis made his return. And if you look at the box score, nothing about the box score seems very impressive. He played 24 minutes, he shot 3 of 8, missed his one three-point attempt. But he did get 4 blocks. And although he only got 2 rebounds, his defensive presence was there. And his defensive presence one-on-one against other bigs. He went against James Harden a couple of times. He's the anchor. Being the anchor of the defense, his presence was totally there. And although the Lakers beat the Brooklyn Nets, one of the best teams in the East right now, it was in Brooklyn, which means they were without Kyrie, because Kyrie hasn't taken his vaccination shot, and that's a whole other discussion for a whole other podcast that we're not going to get into here. And the Nets are currently without Kevin Durant, who's nursing an injury, and he'll be out for, I think, another 6 weeks, maybe. And on top of that, there are reports that James Harden might not be happy in Brooklyn. He might not be happy with how Steve Nash is utilizing him. He doesn't like living in Brooklyn. He's just not a very happy camper right now. Which, you know, so many people were in favor of how James Harden sort of took control of his own destiny and left Houston and essentially picked the Brooklyn Nets. I don't know if those same people are going to be giving him credit if he forces himself forces his way out of Brooklyn the same way he forced himself out of Houston, because at that point, and I said this when he even got traded from Houston and sort of turned his back on his teammates in Houston. One, this isn't going to be a new thing if James Harden is turning his back on his Brooklyn Nets teammates. We've seen James Harden turn his back to his teammates before. I don't think it makes him a good player. I don't think it makes him a good teammate. And two, like, are we really going to let him just do this again? And are people really going to give him credit again for taking control of his own destiny? When he was traded from Houston, I talked about how he seems to play his best basketball in January. He's not very reliable in the playoffs. as many teammates as they tried to give him, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Dwight Howard in his prime. Like, at some point, James, the problem is you. But this isn't a Nets podcast. This isn't a Rockets podcast. We're here to talk about the Lakers. And, but yeah, like, my whole point in that little rant is that although the Lakers won, they beat the Brooklyn Nets, they held them to 96 points, and they won by 10. There's tons and tons and tons of work for this Lakers team to do, and I finally gave in to the conclusion against the Miami Heat on Sunday when the Lakers lost, and although they almost came back and won that game, after the first half, it finally just kind of dawned on me that this team, it's simply not good enough. It's not good enough to make any real noise in the playoffs. Ethan sort of touched on this in our front office episode. There's not a move to be made that's going to like save this team. And so I feel like the Lakers should just sort of stand pat with this season and do the best they can with the resources they have and just try to build. And there's plenty to build on, because I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom after a win, especially when Anthony Davis comes back. His first bucket after coming back from injury was an alley-oop from LeBron James. So, you know, Anthony Davis is there. He's going to slowly reacclimate himself back into the offense, and his presence is going to be a winning presence again. Although it wasn't exactly a winning presence last night, although there was the four blocks. One conclusion I've come to the last couple of days is with three superstars on this team, you've heard me talk about how at all times there needs to be some combination of either all three of LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis on the floor at all times in order for this team to win. Lately, I've come to the conclusion that there should be a different combination of players that should be on the floor at all times. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with LeBron, Westbrook, or Anthony Davis. For this Lakers team to win, for this Lakers team to play hard, for this Lakers team to put forth an effort that everyone can feed off of, at all times, no matter what the score is, blowout or no blowout, at all times, there needs to be some combination of Malik Monk, Austin Reeves, Stanley Johnson, and Talen Horton-Tucker on the court. Never all four of those guys, unless the fifth guy is LeBron James. LeBron James can play with all four of those guys. And that's going to be a unit, a five-man unit that is going to switch around on defense. It's going to go after steals. You might not get a lot of rim protecting, but you'll get an effort. You won't lose any 50-50 balls with that five-man unit of LeBron, Monk, Reeves, Stanley Johnson, Talen Horton-Tucker. With Westbrook and Malik Monk, you do have a little bit of the Rondo Westbrook thing that you had a little bit in the season, earlier in the season, but Malik Monk is a much better shooter, and Malik Monk can create his own shot. Malik Monk doesn't really create for anyone else the way Rondo does, but because he can create his own shot and because he's a great three-point shooter, he does have a two-man game with LeBron James. There are stipulations to this four-man lineup that I'm proposing. If you're going to have Malik Monk in there with Russell Westbrook, then LeBron James has to be in there too. And from there, you can go big with Stanley Johnson. And then the fifth guy can either be Reeves or Tucker. It's not going to matter. Austin Reeves, I feel like fits anywhere. Any combination of any team. You can go LeBron, Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Malik Monk, Austin Reeves. I'd be totally happy with that. You could go Westbrook, Davis, Monk, Reeves, Stanley Johnson. Be happy with that. The point is, these four guys are really the Lakers' key to winning. Malik Monk, Austin Reeves, Stanley Johnson, Talen Horton-Tucker. You need to have all four of those guys get a bulk of the minutes. And you've seen that. You've seen that a lot. Last night, Stanley Johnson started, played 28 minutes, only scored 4 points, but he was a plus 10 in plus minus. The only starter, by the way, who was in plus minus, Stanley Johnson and also LeBron James. The only other starter, I should say, that was in plus, in positive plus minus. Malik Monk, 22 points, shot 6 for 12 from 3, played 28 minutes. Austin Reeves, again, typical Austin Reeves night, 24 minutes, only scored 2 points, but grabbed 5 rebounds, 4 of them offensive, 6 rebounds, blocked a shot, got a steal. I'm sure he took a charge or two. Not an impressive stat line, plus 13, plus minus. Talen Horton-Tucker. See, so Talen Horton-Tucker is sort of the wild card of this four-man lineup. Really bad game for him last night. About as bad as you've seen him play. He played 18 minutes, shot 0 for 6, only grabbed 1 rebound, grabbed a block, was minus 2. We're not very impactful. But what's good about this four-man lineup of Monk, Reeves, Johnson, and Tucker is it's not the only like main lineup you have, because aside from LeBron, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis, you've still got an Avery Bradley and a Carmelo Anthony. And Carmelo Anthony shot 3 for 7 from 3, grabbed 3 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, got an assist, plus 15 for Carmelo Anthony. So if any on any given night, if any of these four guys are off, Monk, Reeves, Johnson, Tucker, if any of those four guys are off, you've still got Carmelo Anthony. You've still got Avery Bradley. If you need to go further in the bench, you do still have Trevor Ariza. And again, keep in mind that at some point, Kendrick Nunn is going to be back. And you don't exactly know where Nunn is going to fit in with this lineup, and it's going to take some time to work him in. But here's what we shouldn't see. Is we should no longer have to rely on heavy minutes for Trevor Ariza, which he got a DNP coach's decision last night. And I said, even when he was injured, I'm not expecting a lot from Trevor Ariza. Wayne Ellington hasn't proved very much when he has gotten in there. DeAndre Jordan's done. There were moments in which I liked it throughout the season. I thought he fit in well. But yeah, he's done at this point. Same for Bazemore. Dwight Howard didn't play last night. He could have, because the Nets had Nicholas Claxton. But for whatever reason, Dwight Howard didn't play. Dwight Howard is the one I do feel like he should get more minutes than he's gotten lately, but it does sort of, you know, what's he going to do with this team? Where is he going to fit sort of thing. But the Lakers have a lot to build on. I feel like the Lakers are solidifying their rotation. And beyond the obvious LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, yeah, I feel like a rotation's beginning to develop. I don't know if Stanley Johnson should start. Malik Monk has been playing really well off the bench, but I liked Malik Monk in the starting lineup. I feel like if you're going to start LeBron James at center, I feel like the starting lineup should be LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Malik Monk, and Stanley Johnson. Because then that leaves Kendrick Nunn, Austin Reeves, Talen Horton-Tucker, Carmelo Anthony, on your bench. And I feel like within those players, that's where you could sort of mold a winning team. But what's a winning team for this lineup, really? Because like I said, I've already resigned myself to the conclusion that this team is simply not good enough. Not good enough to win a championship, depending on who that first round matchup is going to be. Believe it or not, I'm actually of the thought that the Lakers do match up fairly well with Golden State, despite the fact that Golden State hits a lot of threes and this Lakers team gives up a lot of threes. That's probably the only conceit. But we've already seen that the Lakers don't match up very well with Memphis. They don't match up very well with Phoenix. So can the Lakers even get out of the first round? That remains to be seen. But the good news is Anthony Davis is back. Despite the fact that he didn't have a very impressive stat line, he looks healthy. He's blocking shots. He's anchoring the defense.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
He's back, and that's a great thing. But where do the Lakers go from here? Well, I don't know where the Lakers go from here. But what I do know is that you guys should take a moment to follow Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. That's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. The single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides way more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Follow now. So now that Anthony Davis is back, what do the Lakers have to look forward to? Well, they still have one of the more difficult schedules on the back half of the rest of the league. They have the most road games. They have a ton of road games coming up because for the first half of the season, they actually played the most home games. It seemed like they were always playing in the Staples Center and now the Crypto.com Arena. And for the second half of the season, it's going to feel like the Lakers are on the road a lot more often. Their next three games, in fact, are going to be on the road versus the 76ers, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Atlanta Hawks. I think Ethan is going to be on the next recording after the Charlotte Hornets game. And so, you know, with the Lakers teeter-tottering around 500, winning one, losing one, winning one, losing one, I've got to assume that the Lakers game on Thursday versus the 76ers with Joel Embiid playing the way he has been and Dwight Howard not playing a lot, which means the Lakers don't have a very formidable presence at center. I'm not looking forward to the 76ers game, although you never know. Charlotte Hornets should be an entertaining game. Atlanta Hawks has been an entertaining game when the Lakers have played there, when the Atlanta's been in the Crypto.com Arena. So there's plenty of good news on the way. You know, Hornets are beatable. Hawks are beatable. Blazers, Clippers are beatable. Knicks are beatable. That's all in between the 76ers and then the Bucks. So it seems as though the Lakers will be able to claw themselves out of this 8 seed to maybe at least a 6 seed. We'll go over the rest of the playoff picture here later on in the episode. Before we take a look at the Lakers playoff picture, I do want to tell you guys about a new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get a 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night and score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. Check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at ThriveFantasy.com. Touched on it a little earlier, and I talked about how Ethan also mentioned this in our front office show. While there are not a lot of trade rumors that are going to be viable for this team, it is roughly 2 weeks before the trading deadline. And things are a little quiet on the insider front. And one NBA insider on Twitter wrote that the reason, in his experience, he's seen things be a little quiet on the trade front this close to the deadline is because teams are actively working. I didn't get a chance to ask Steve Bagel this of the Bird Rights podcast on our show, but before we recorded, I kind of asked him in private. I said, hey, do you think it's going to be an active trade season? And he said yes. He had a lot of reasons as to why he said yes. He thought it would be an active trade reason. I don't remember every reason he said. I'm certainly not going to put words in his mouth, but it does seem as though it's going to be an active trading deadline. It's pretty quiet now. Ben Simmons is out there. You know, what is Brooklyn going to do with the fact that Kyrie is not playing home games and James Harden is not happy? You know, what's to be done? Indiana is rebuilding. Even though Miles Turner is hurt, it doesn't seem as though they're going to hold on to him, because what would they have to gain? And as far as the Lakers, there's no trade out there that's really going to help this team. You're starting to hear more rumblings about Terrence Ross, but is Terrence Ross really going to be much of an improvement? Is Terrence Ross really going to be worth the sacrificing, underperforming though he may be, the sacrificing of Talen Horton-Tucker? I don't think so. I don't think so. With that, you know, we'll talk about the latest Lakers trade rumors that have propped up on this January 26th. The most realistic possibility does seem to be a Russell Westbrook for John Wall. Houston would be willing to go down that road again. And in a way, it'd be a net positive for both teams, although Russell Westbrook is not necessarily helping the Lakers win now. He is being productive. And so when you weigh both situations, Houston right now is getting nothing from John Wall. Literally nothing, because he's not playing. And the Lakers are getting production out of Russell Westbrook. Literally production, because the guy won't stop playing. He's the only Los Angeles Laker who hasn't missed a game this season. And Russell Westbrook is someone who is well respected among his peers. And maybe he can get a young team like the Rockets going. But if I'm either way, looking at it from both sides of the coin, if I'm the Lakers, not only do I want John Wall, I kind of want Eric Gordon. And that's going to cost a lot. That's potentially going to cost, in addition to Russell Westbrook, it's probably going to cost Talen Horton-Tucker. That's also probably going to cost Kendrick Nunn. And that's definitely going to cost your first-round draft pick in 2027. And if I'm Houston, if I'm Houston, if I'm going to give up Eric Gordon, yeah, I definitely want those things. So simple Russell Westbrook for John Wall trade is not going to, neither team is going to want that. even though it is a net positive. Both teams are going to want to try to one-up each other. And I don't see the Lakers putting themselves in that position. So, for the latest rumors, to sum up, yeah. Terrence Ross, definitely not if it's going to cost Talen Horton-Tucker and a first-round pick. Even though that first-round pick could be 2027. John Wall? Maybe. Maybe. But to get John Wall and potentially Eric Gordon, I mean, yeah, I could be talked into getting those two players for Russell Westbrook and Talen Horton-Tucker. Man, even though Talen Horton's underperforming, man, that upside. Huge upside. Look at what Kyle Kuzma's doing in Washington. The Lakers have maybe held on just a little bit. You never know. You never know. And with that, let's take a look at the standings, like I like to do. So over in the West, not much has changed. Phoenix, Golden State remain atop the West. Phoenix is sort of running away with this thing again, 37-9. Golden State has been slipping a little bit lately. Draymond Green has been injured. So that might be why. Klay Thompson's beginning to either show some rust or his lack of conditioning is beginning to catch up with him. He's been playing a little bit less. Memphis, still surging. For those guys to be the number three seed, outstanding. 32-17. Utah, number four, 30-18. Dallas, 5-27-21. Denver, 6-25-21. Minnesota. Surprising some folks. 24-23. Lakers can't be. I mean, nobody can say too much about Minnesota. They are ranked higher than our Los Angeles Lakers at number 8. Number 9, Clippers. Last night, just had a 35-point comeback with Luke Kennard hitting a game-winning shot at the buzzer, or close to the buzzer. Portland in the 10 seed. From here, pretty big separation between 9 and 10. And so somebody's going to get in that 10th spot. And New Orleans has actually been surging lately. I feel like it'd be a pretty big victory for New Orleans to get into this play-in game situation. Because they looked really bad to start the season. And they can go up to playing in the play-in. It's pretty big for them. San Antonio is not doing much, which is unfortunate because DeJounte Murray is having a hell of a season, and man, would that guy be an amazing Laker. Sacramento at 18-31. Sacramento's got to do something. You can only hold on to De'Aaron Fox and be outside of the playoffs for so long. Same with Buddy Hield. Oklahoma City still rebuilding. Not a lot to talk about there. In Houston, not a lot to talk about there. Although, rebuilding, they might be wasting a lot of prime Christian Wood years. Just saying. Miami, holding on to that number one seed. They've rocketed themselves up. 30-17. Chicago, holding on to that two seed. They've slipped a little bit lately, but they're still holding on to that two seed. Brooklyn at 29-18. Milwaukee's got 30 wins and 19 losses at the four seed. Cleveland, you can't knock Cleveland down, man. They keep getting injury after injury after injury. That team is resilient. Kevin Love is playing like a man possessed off of the bench. Like, his career has been rejuvenated. It's been great to see. Philadelphia, 28-19. They're going to have to do something soon. The latest trade rumor with them is that there might be some sort of pseudo-agreement with Brooklyn and Philadelphia, but they want to wait until the offseason. Why two teams would agree to an eventual trade in the offseason and let that shit leak? I have no idea. I have no idea who that benefits. I've never heard of anything like that in all of my years of being an NBA basketball fan. For two teams to basically handshake agree, yeah, we'll trade for these two guys later. I don't understand. Charlotte in the 7th seed at 26-22. Toronto in the 8th seed at 23-22. Boston in the play-in situation, as well as Washington and the Knicks. I don't know what happened to the Knicks. We go over this every week when we look over at the playoff picture, and I thought the Knicks would be down, but it's because I thought the Atlanta Hawks would be up, and the Atlanta Hawks are ranked lower than the Knicks. And I'm guessing the reason for that is Charlotte's ascension. I don't know. Then you've got Indiana, Detroit, and Orlando. Orlando's your worst team in the league. Aside from Terrence Ross, Aaron Gordon, and Mo Bamba. Not even Aaron. Misspoke. Not Aaron Gordon. Terrence Ross, Mo Bamba, Jalen Suggs. I can't name very many other Orlando Magic players. And that's going to about do it for this episode of the Ethos Lakers Pod. But before I go, I want to remind y'all to use code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. You can also check out our pals, mybookie.ag. You can use code HOOPBALL on the third page of their sign up as well to unlock deposit matches. To unlock deposit matches for mybookie.ag, use code HOOPBALL20 at Manscaped. Use code HOOPBALL at mybookie.ag. You can follow me on Twitter at JCDeLeon1. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Ethos Lakers. You can follow Ethan on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. No idea if he has an Instagram. But until next time, we are out. Hey guys, post-production JC here. Just wanted to record this quick little snippet. Literally, as soon as I pressed stop on the record of the today's podcast, literally, as soon as I pressed stop, a tweet notification from Shams. Forward Stanley Johnson has agreed to a new 2-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. Sources tell The Athletic Johnson's final 10-day contract expires Wednesday, but his contagious defense, energy, and play earn him a guaranteed rest of the year. Folks, we have got Stanley Johnson locked up for, I don't know if 2 years means the rest of this year and one more year, or guaranteed rest of this year and then two more years. That I don't know. But main news is Stanley Johnson locked up. No more 10-day contract for our guy Stanley Johnson. Happy for him. Happy for the team. I hope his energy and defense is contagious to the rest of the team, and happy to see it got done. Until next time, now we're out.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.